the people of kingdom building. Now last week, we saw from the book of Nehemiah how kingdom building can be severely affected by open sin and scandal. You know, it is true, everyone is always very excited when it comes to doing a work for God, especially when it comes to building a new church, you know, to serve in it, to build it up so that people have a place to worship. But unless lingering sins are dealt with, open sins, scandals, disunity, gossip, and so forth, all of these sins will come back to haunt the church. And this is something that Nehemiah experienced. You know, he was building this wall, but the people had an issue that had stretched back generations, and the work could not continue. So what Nehemiah had to do was he had to address it, stop it, got the people, the perpetrators to repent, to restore everything before the work could continue. Now, today we consider another issue. When we build God's kingdom, what does it require? It requires people. Everything may be hunky-dory in the church, no problems. But if there's no one to serve, nothing gets done. The work is not going to get done unless others do it. No, the work isn't going to get done unless you do it. Yes, in that one sense, you need leaders like Nehemiah, but you also need workers. Many years ago, I was in marching band, right? And I played the alto sax. And the alto sax was really the woodwind instrument to play. Everyone wanted to play the sax because it was cool, then followed by the clarinet. And in the marching band that I was in, no one wanted to play the flute because the flute was really boring. All right? So as a result, the flute section was very weak. And as a result, the conductor had to convert some people to be flautists. And he decided to convert some of the saxophonists because, you know, the fingering for the sax is the same as the flute. So some of us got converted. Needless to say, we were not very happy. Right? But in time, I came to realize that the flute was a very, very important supporting instrument. Yes, the prima donna of the woodwinds is the saxophone, right? But without the flutes, without the piccolos, you know, which are the higher pitched instruments, there really would be no brightness to the songs which are played. And in marching band, you really need that brightness. So in a band, you need supporting instruments. Now, when you sing an oratorio, yes, you know, you've got the soloist, the alto, the soprano, you know, the bass, the tenor, but it would not be an oratorio if it did not have the choir. All right? So not all are leaders, but all are workers. And the work of kingdom building requires people to work behind the scenes. Now, there are 3 points in this sermon. Firstly, God's kingdom is built when God's people work communally. Secondly, God's kingdom is built when God's people work humbly. Thirdly, God's kingdom is built when God's people rely on God for strength. So firstly, we see that God's kingdom is built when God's people work communally. Now in chapter 4, which is the next chapter, which we saw last week, we saw that the wall was built until there was no more gaps. And it was built to half a height. And this is not some little dinky fence that surrounds our properties, but this was a massive wall. And this required a massive amount of work. Now, these walls were not just, you know, double brick walls. These walls were incredible. You know, at its top, it was 1.5 meters wide. This means at its base, it had to be at least 3 meters wide. Right? And it would be 6 meters tall upon completion. And around the city of Jerusalem, the circumference of the wall would be 2 kilometers. Imagine building that kind of wall. It was a massive amount of work. So even for them to build halfway, they had to work very hard. Now, in verse 6 of chapter... in verse 6 of chapter 4, we learn, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Why within, you know, a couple of weeks was the wall halfway built? Because the people had a mind to work. Now the New Living Translation says the people had worked with enthusiasm. The NIV says the people worked with all their heart. The Holman's Bible says the people had the will to keep working. So the people had a mind, a will, an enthusiasm to work. And when you don't have enthusiasm, nothing gets done. Now this wall did not get built because Nehemiah himself said, "I'm going to put one brick on top of one another and put the mortar and another brick." He did not build it himself. But the wall got built because the people built it together with him. You see, he might have been the saxophonist, right? But the people played flute. He may have been the soloist, but they were the choir. He may have played first chair. Hey, he could have been concertmaster, but all of them played second, third, fourth chair. Now who were these people? We see them in chapter 3. And Nehemiah names them when he goes from gate to gate. And here we really see the diversity of these people who were involved in this mammoth project. And we see here that there were many groups. Verse 1 of chapter 3, we see that there was Eliashib, the high priest, along with his brethren, meaning the other priests. Now, what were they building? They were building the sheep gate. Now, these people were priests. They wore their priestly garments in the temple to do the work. But here, they had taken a break from the temple to serve by building the wall. So, why did they do that? Because they realized that the building of the wall was more important. Because if they did not build the wall, the temple would be defenseless if there was an enemy attack. Right? And what is remarkable is this. Even the high priest was there. The high priest who once a year represented the people in the Holy of Holies, he was there. He took off his, you know, puffy hat. He took off his ephod with all the jewels. He took off the aprons. He took off his linen clothes. And what did he work in? The work smock that other people were working in. He did that because even though he represented the people, he was part of the people. Now in verse 2, we see that there were men of Jericho who were building the next section. Now these were men of Jericho. They weren't men of Jerusalem. In other words, they had to commute to Jerusalem 24 kilometers just to build the wall. And the same thing we see in verse 5, you have the men of Tekoa, the Tekoites. Now Tekoa was 20 kilometers away. They too were commuters. They came all the way. These were people who were not afraid of traveling long distances all the way from Lansdale and City Beach just to come to Tekoa and Jericho just to come to build the work and to be with God's people. All right? And then not only do you have the priests, not only do you have commuters, but we see in verse 8, what do you have? You have skilled workers. All right, it says, "Next unto him repaired Uzziel the son of Harhiah of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah the son of one of the apothecaries, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall." Now, these were not people who were skilled in masonry. These were not builders. What were they? They were artisans, right? One dealt with gold. He was a goldsmith. He was one who probably had like magnifying glass, you know, and worked with gold filigree, you know, shaping it. He worked with precious stones, not with mortar and rock. Then, of course, you had Hananiah. What was Hananiah's occupation? He was an apothecary. The translation, he was a perfume maker. I don't know what you think about when you think of perfume makers. I don't think of a burly guy with a big beard working on scents. I see a delicate man with long fingers, with a heightened sense of smell, having to work and distill oils and fragrances. Now imagine if you were such a man around other men who had not showered or changed their clothes in weeks. Right, the smell of their body oils, their perspiration, would accost this man's superior olfactory nerves. Right? And probably as he was, you know, building the walls, he must have concocted, you know, lots of different fragrances for the men around him. That guy needs more cinnamon on him. Right? And we even see here that there were civil servants. Verse 9. Rephaiah, the ruler of half of Jerusalem. Now this guy was not just a civil servant working in the offices of the Melville Town Council. This guy was the co-mayor of a city, right? And we see the other co-mayor in verse 12, Shalom, the son of Hallosheth, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. And remarkable thing is this, who was he repairing the wall with? His daughters, right? He didn't have strapping sons to help him build the walls. Rather, he brought his daughters. It's the Chu family right there, right? Then, you know, we see here that there were also teachers. Verse 17, it tells us that the Levites were building the wall too. Everyone was building. There was no one to teach, so the Levites might as well build too. We see here that there were single men, roommates, in fact. Right, verse 23, you've got two guys, Benjamin and Hashub. You know, they probably moved out of their mother's home and decided, hey, let's move in together, let's be roomies. And after rooming together, the wall needed to be built, and so they said, let's build the wall just outside of our house. They were best mates, right? Then interestingly, we see again in verse 27, who is building another section of the wall? The men of Tekoa, the Tekoites. They were repairing another part of the wall. Now they were seen in verse 5. So these were men who had to do double duty. These were men with great energy. I'm sure they were tired. Not only had they traveled 20 kilometers, but they were doing twice the work of everyone else. So what we see here is incredible. There was a diversity of people, men and women, married and single, families, roommates, civil servants, businessmen, artists, clergy, teachers. You know, in the kingdom of God, diversity is a good thing. And we see these people being so different with different abilities, yet they were working together to build the wall. Now what was remarkable is that the priests, the Levites, the governors, the artists, the artisans, they humbled themselves to be laborers. The men of Jericho, Tekoa, they traveled to build the wall. You see, when people work communally, when they work sacrificially like this, when they work without a care as to what their status is, then the kingdom of God will be built. When we think, I'm too clever for this. I'm too superior for this, the kingdom does not get built. Right? You see, what Nehemiah was doing is, he was not merely building the wall. He was building the people. He was rebuilding the fractured unity of these people. We saw last week how the people, you know, were crying out against one another. They had ill-treated one another. Nehemiah put them in this manner to build the church, to build the walls. And that is really how the church is built. Ephesians 4, 15 to 16, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Right, the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by what every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, this tells us, how do we function as a body? The arm can't, you know, grab something and drag the body along, right? But the legs do the walking, right? Every part plays its part, every part of the body. Now, what else do we see? Not only do we see this diversity, right? Not only do we see this communality, but we see that the kingdom of God is built when people work together in humility. An interesting thing is we see that the kingdom of God is built even though people sometimes would not humble themselves. Now, we've seen these people working very hard. They're denying themselves. They're denying their station, just the labor on the walls. But unfortunately, we're also hit here with reality. Not everyone serves with humility. Some people think they're too good for certain things, right? There are people who are happy building the wall. They're not showering. They're pressing on in the work. But there was a group of people here whose behavior was very offensive. It was very noxious. Verse 27, we saw that the men of Tekoa, they had to do double duty, double shift. Why? What does verse 27 tell us? They worked twice as hard because there were some who refused to work. Right? And this is what verse 5 tells us. Verse 27 tells us that they had to work twice as hard, but verse 5 tells us why. And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. The nobles refuse to work. So while there were those who worked very hard in humility, you know, communally with everyone else, there were those who didn't. Now we're told that they were nobles, the nobles of Tekoa. And what did they do? They refused to put their necks to the work of their Lord. You know, when do you put your neck to something, your shoulder to something, when you're trying to push something? This shows that they refuse to exert effort, and they refuse to do the work of their Lord. Now, in our King James Bible, the word Lord is capitalized. I'm not sure why it's capitalized, but if it's capitalized, presumably to mean Lord as in God, right? If that is the meaning, it tells us that they were believers, but that they were lazy. They were disobedient. Right? They did not have God's desire upon their heart. Now, the word Lord can also mean lords with a lowercase L. It refers to their supervisors, their governors. In other words, these nobles were not willing to be told by anyone what to do. We're nobles. We're not going to listen to anyone. We do what we want, when we want, and if we want to lend a hand, that's our business. All right? So whatever case, you know, it is, we see here that it is insubordination. They refused to put their necks to the work. They were defiant. Now, it could be that they were nobles. Hey, I'm a noble. I play saxophone. You go and play the flute. Oh, you little flutist, you little flautist, you play the flute. I'll play the saxophone. It could very well be that, you know, they said, I'm a soloist. Let the choir build the wall. Let the younger people do the work. Right? Very often we see this all over the place. Will assign the work to someone else. I can ask someone else to do it. I'm a noble. I should not get involved in this work. But because they did not work, what happened to the men of Tekoa? They had to do double duty. They had to work twice as hard. But you know what? The kingdom of God is still built even when there are people who will not humble themselves. Why? Because there are others who will work humbly. You know, before getting to the upper room, the disciples in John 13 in the previous verses, they were arguing over who would be the greatest. And when that's the argument, when you argue over who will be the greatest, what are you also arguing about? Who will be the least, right? And so when they got to the upper room, they saw the little basin at the corner of the room. no one wanted to pick up the basin and the water and the towel to wash one another's feet because they just had this argument. Right? No one wanted to be the least. So what did Jesus do? Jesus took up the wash basin. He washed his disciples' feet. Nehemiah, unlike the nobles, he washed feet. He got dirty. He got stinky. He got tired. He worked day and night. He didn't shower. You know, I'm sure Hananiah probably had a special blend for Nehemiah. I think Nehemiah needs obsession, right? And probably he had a special blend also for the nobles who thought they were too high up. Yeah, boss by Hugo, boss for you, right? There will always be people like that, right? If they can get someone else to do the work, they will. But what do we do with regard to people like that? Simple. You just don't let them get in your way. You press on. We see here that the wall was built, right? The people pressed on in humility and one mind. They worked hard and they worked harder. And this is exactly what our Lord Jesus did. He washed his disciples' feet when they thought they were too good to do it. He died on the cross. He pressed on all the way to the cross, not for good people, but for sinful people. You know, folks, there's so many things to be done in church. Sunday school teaching, pulling the weeds, replacing the toilet rolls. Why do you have a fresh toilet roll when you get in there? Because someone has replaced it. Picking up the trash. Do you know who unlocks the building every week? Who locks up the building every week? Who are the ones who fold the bulletin? Who are the ones who print the large print song sheets? Who are the ones who collect bread, the bread that you help yourself liberally to and enjoy the fruits of? Right? Do you know who these people are? And the thing is, we need people like that. This is how the walls get built. When people do not care if they play saxophone or not, but are willing to be flautists. Now lastly, God's kingdom is built when God's people rely on God for strength. Now these people worked really hard, even under threat from their enemies, but eventually the wall was built. Let's skip all the way over to Nehemiah 6. Nehemiah 6. We'll look at verse 15 and 16. Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16. It says, "So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God." How long did it take to build the wall? 52 days. 3 meter wide at the base, 1.5 meters at, you know, the top, you know, and 2 kilometers around. That's a massive work. And it just took them 52 days. They worked day and night. You see, communality, humility led to the wall being built. And what is remarkable here in this verse that we just read is the clear irony. You see, the enemies were the ones, you know, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Ashdodites, and the rest of the enemies of God's people. They had come to intimidate the people, to cause them fear, right? If you look at verse 9 of chapter 6, Nehemiah says there, they did all of these things to make us afraid that our hands will be weakened from building the wall. But Nehemiah asked God for help, you know, strengthen our hands. He prayed that. You see, he and his people relied on God. They asked God to strengthen them. And after 52 days, you know, they put in all of their effort, but they asked God for strength. How many of us could work 52 days, night and day, not showering, not getting into fights over BO? They press on, right? And who are the ones who are afraid now? Their enemies. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, Noadiah, Shemaiah, all these wicked prophets. We see they were much cast down in their own eyes. In other words, their opinion of themselves fell greatly. Why? Because they realized that the wall was built with the help of God. The proud enemies became humiliated. The humble workers became vindicated. You see, folks, this is how God works. And He never, ever forgets those who work for Him. Why do you think chapter 3 is in the Bible with all of these unpronounceable names? To torture us when we do scripture reading? They're here so that we will know who these people are, that they worked. And as they worked hard, but who will go down in ignominy for the rest of history? The nobles of Tekoa. We will see them and read that they did not do this work. But we realize that the people who worked were not Nehemiah. They were the rank and file. All of us are the rank and file. The greater Nehemiah, the Lord Jesus, is our leader. And so when Nehemiah wrote the book, he included these names. These were the people who were behind the scenes. No one would really ever know them, but God knew them, and He noticed them, and He honored them. Now, this is what the Bible tells us of what Christ will do. Hebrews 6, verse 10 tells us that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed unto His name. So God is not unrighteous. He will remember. So the question we always have to come back to in the building of God's kingdom is, how much are we involved in the work of the church? Are we like the nobles of Tekoa? Yeah, someone else can do this. If I can find someone else to do it, I'll find someone else. Or do we give selflessly, work selflessly for the building up of God's kingdom? You see, God has a part for us to play. For some of us, in that one sense, it may be as a soloist, as a saxophonist. But not in a worldly way do we yearn for this. You know, it's one thing to yearn for church office when we are qualified in character. But remember, and please remember this, church office is not a reward for those who work hard. Right? We need to perform our parts. And our parts mostly will be in the choir. And when we perform our parts well, there will be a commendation from God. And that is what we all work towards. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word, the examples of these men, the examples of these women. We pray that You would teach us to work hard for Your kingdom, giving nerve and strength and muscle and heart to the work at hand, to encourage one another to build up the ministries of Your church. Help us, Father, never to be like the nobles of Tekoa, but that we may see the humility of Christ doing something menial, even dying on the cross. But it is because of what He had done in humble servitude that You have exalted Him above every other name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.